Today's Shi'ez Masechta Makas, Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yot Chesam Beis, the last words on the Amid. Amar Rava, Barada Amar of Yitzchak. Bikurim Me'emes Seim Mechayven Aleim. At what point is there a Chiyah by Bikurim? Actually, there's a Machloikas, and not necessarily Machloikas. There are two ways of understanding this Gemara's question. Rashi explains that this Gemara's question is regarding a Zor. That we know the Zor who eats Bikurim is Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim, similar to someone who eats, to a Zor who eats Truma. And the question is, at what point are they considered Bikurim that Chiv applies? Other Rishonim explain, going back to what we've been discussing in the last number of Shiurim, that a Kayin may not eat Bikurim either prior to Hanacha prior to Kriya, as we learned in yesterday's Shir. And the Gemara's question is, at what point are they considered already Bikurim that Chi of Malkus applies? Of course, Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out in his Sefer Derech Amunah that as soon as one designates the fruit that he wants to be Bikurim, there's a Chi of Mitzvah Saseh that the Zor may not eat it, that a Kohen may not eat it. Here the Gemara's questioning is, at what point does the Chi of Mises Bezdin or the Chi of Malkus kick in? Answers the Gemara, Mishiru Pnei Abayis. And here too we actually have Machlokes Rishonim what Mishiru Pnei Abayis means. Rashi learns Mishiru Pnei Abayis is from when they come into the Azoro. The Rambam learns Mishiru Pnei Abayis from when it comes in to Yerushalayim. Interestingly, I saw Aruch Lener. I'll just say it's not just Aruch Lener, it's a Meiri that tried to limit the machlokes of Rashi and Rambam. And they say that Rashi is referring, the Chiv, as soon as it comes into Yerushalayim, as far as the Yisrael, that Yisrael is not allowed to eat it, is from when it comes into Yerushalayim. The Yisrael and the Kohen only begins once it comes into the Azorah. Says the Gemara Kaman, according to whom is this the opinion? Says the Gemara, Kahai Tana, follows the opinion of the following Tana, the Tanya as we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Loza speaks about the following scenario. Bikurim, Miktsasim Bechutz, Miktsasim Bifnim. Some of the Bikurim are outside of Yerushalayim, and some of the Bikurim are inside of Yerushalayim. Shebechutz, the Bikurim that are outside of Yerushalayim, Haran Kechulim Chal Devreim, they're considered Chulim. They don't have all of the Dinim of Bikurim. Shebefnim, whereas those Bikurim that are already inside Yerushalayim or the Azor or whatever Peshat we learn, Harayin Kehegdish Kol Devrayim. There is a question amongst the Rishonim, the Ritva discusses this, how to understand this Gemara. What would be the halacha if you had a basket full of Bikurim, and part of the basket is in Yerushalayim and part of it is outside of Yerushalayim, or the Azor, the same question. We have a concept that we've discussed particularly in Masechta Shabbos, of Eged Keli Shmei Eged, something being put into one basket creates a situation that it's considered all one unit. Is that halacha going to apply by Bikurim or not? He claims it's actually an interesting machlokes Rishonim. Amar Rav Sheshes, going back to an issue that we discussed in the previous year, Bikurim Hanoch Makeves Behen, the placing them on the Mizbeach is essential. Until then, as we learned earlier, a Kohen may not eat those Bikurim, the Chi of Malkus. Kriya, however, Kriya, a Makeves Behen, is not essential. Says the Gemara Kaman, whose opinion does this follow? Says the Gemara Kahai Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi HaMishloisha Dvarim Mishim Shloisha Zakenim. Rabbi Yossi reported three halachas that he heard from three different Zakenim. What were they? The first one is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel taught, Yochel Yala Odom Maisa Sheni Bezman HaZeh Yerushalayim. The question that comes up, does the din of bringing Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim apply Bezman HaZeh, V'yachlenu, and that he should be able to eat it? And the Gemara wants to suggest, the Braisa wants to suggest, that we can learn by logic that it does not. Because we can make the following Limud, Vidinhu, Bechor, Ton Havos Mokim, Bechor has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, or Mashisheni Ton Havas Makam. Mashisheni has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Ma Bechor En El Befnei Abayis. There is no question, says the Gemara, that Bezman Hazeh Bechor ought not to apply, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no way to bring the Bechor to the Beis HaMikdash and be makavid as a carbon. Therefore, I would say, Af Mais El Befnei Abayis. And Tosfos, it's really the Gemara is going to make this point, but the Gemara makes the point later in the shir, and Tosfos teaches us to learn the Gemara at this point. Tosfos says there is no question that nowadays a Bechor doesn't apply. It's no different than any other carbon. Does a carbon oil apply? Does a carbon shlam apply? No kabbanis apply nowadays. Tosfos says the Gemara is speaking about a very specific situation, as will become evident, as I said. What happened if somebody brought the Bechor? It was makar the Bechor. And after he was makar of the Bechor, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It's a very interesting scenario. Could you eat the meat of that Bechor after the Churban? And the Gemara is saying that you can't eat the Bechor, and we'll see soon why. And the Gemara is saying the same thing ought to apply by Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara, how can we learn the halacha of Maisa Sheni from the halacha of Bechor? Ma'ala Bechor shekein tom matan domin ve'emirim. A Bechor, as we just said a second ago, is a carbon. Maisa Sheni is not a carbon. Ma'ala Bechor shekein tom matan domin ve'emirim l'gabim mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Bechurim v'kirichu. Bikurim don't apply nowadays, but Bikurim aren't brought as a carbon. So we see the fact that something brought as a carbon is not the cogent factor. Ask the Gemara, but Bikurim have a certain chumra, shekein tun and hanocha. Bikurim have to be brought on the Mizbeach, whereas Maisa Sheni is not brought next to the Mizbeach. So how do we know indeed that Maisa Sheni doesn't apply as manazeh? Tamaloimer, v'chalta shom, v'nei Hashem l'kecha, ma'asa b'gorcha, d'alkancha v'sireshcha, v'tzirecha b'koris b'chorcha v'tzaynecha. So the pasuk speaks about ma'aser and b'chor in the same pasuk, to teach us ma'kish ma'aser b'chor, to put them in the same category. Ma b'chor, just like b'chor only applies l'fnei ha'bayis, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, af ma'aser eina el l'fnei ha'bayis. So too does ma'aser only apply, because we have this hekesh, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Now makes the Gemara the point that we're trying to prove. V'misa, if it is indeed correct that Kriya is important from Bikurim, so why didn't the Gemara ask the question this way? Ma'ala Bikurim shekein tu'unin Kriya v'anocha. When we want to draw the contrast between Bikurim and Ma'aser, what was the way the Gemara differentiated? That saying Bikurim requires Hanocha, Maisa doesn't. Why didn't the Gemara say that Bikurim also requires Kriya? The fact that the Gemara omitted mentioning the Kriya Halocha Bikurim is an indication that Kriya isn't essential, because otherwise it would have been mentioned. Then Isa, if indeed the Halocha is that Bikurim, the Kriya is essential, Lifrich, the Gemara should have asked, Ma'ala Bikurim, she came to in Kriya v'hanocha. The fact that the Gemara only spoke about Hanocha is a right that Kriya is not ascension. Ask the Gemara, Amar Ravashi. Says Ravashi, is that make a difference? Let's think about it. Nadi kuvalekha. Even if we'll agree that Kriya is not essential, mitzvah milekha, is there no mitzvah? Everybody agrees that you have to, l'chatchila, read the parasha of Arami Ovid Ovid Bikurim. So if the Gemara is showing the difference between Bikurim, if the Braisa is showing the difference between Bikurim and Maisa Sheni, it still should have mentioned Kriya, even if it's not essential. V'lema, and therefore the Gemara would have said, mitzvah v'lifrach, that it's a mitzvah, even if it's not ma'akiv, to do Kriya, and Maisa doesn't have it. So Mefarshim asks the obvious question. If Bikurim and Hanocha are both essential, if Kriya and Hanocha are both essential, so we could understand that when the Gemara is asking a question of differentiating between Bikurim and Maisa Sheni, you mention both Kriya and Hanocha because they're both so important, they're both equally important. But if now the Gemara is saying that we're following the opinion that Hanocha is essential, Kriya isn't, So the Gemara, the answer is very obvious. We're only mentioning the differences about essential avodah, not something which is not essential, and that's why kriya was omitted. So Mefarshim answer, based on the Gemara we learned yesterday, even if we learned in our previous year that even if you hold that kriya is not ma'akev, the Gemara spoke about a scenario where somebody brought the bikurim after Sukkos, and we spoke about that since he can't do the kriya, yirkavu, the bikurim should be left to rot. So even if you hold that kriya is not ma'akev, you see how important kriya is, because kriya could tell you to let the entire bikurim rot. So the Gemara's question is a very legitimate question. Why don't we mention kriya when we're differentiating between bikurim and ma'isa? But ask the Mefarshim another question. Our Gemara is assuming that by Bikurim there is Kriya, but Ma'aser Sheni there is no Kriya. That isn't true. We learned, it's a Pasuk in Parashas Kisavai, we're actually going to refer to it later in our Shia today, that there's a Parasha of Vidui Ma'aser, that you have to say the entire Nusach that you did with the Ma'aser that you were supposed to do. So what's the Gemara saying? That Bikurim has Kriya, that the Gemara should have asked, that Bikurim has Kriya, Ma'aser doesn't, Ma'aser has Kriya, as Vidui Ma'aser. The answer is that the Kriya Bikurim is a very different Kriya than the Kriya Ma'aser. Two very powerful differences. Ma'aser, the Kriya is only in the third and in the sixth year of the cycle, of the 7 year cycle. The Kriya Bikurim is every year. Furthermore, Bikurim is part of the actual Havas Bikurim, as we have been learning, is the Kriya. The Ma'aser and the Kriya Vidui Ma'aser are not connected at all. There's no Ma'aser being brought or delivered or done anything with when you did the Parasha Vidui Ma'aser. A third difference is that the place where the Bikurim, the Mikra Bikurim, is very specific. It had to be done in the Azara as you brought the Bikurim. Vidui Ma'aser could be read and said anywhere. So they're obviously very different, and therefore the Gemara says the Gemara, therefore, the Gemara's point is still a very strong point. The why didn't, when the Braisa wanted to show the difference between Ma'aser and Bikurim, say that Bikurim has Kriya and Ma'aser doesn't. Says the Gemara, the reason it didn't is because Amar Vashi, Ned El Amar Vashi, Kivin the Ika Bikuria Ger. What happens if a Ger brings Bikurim? The Gemara here is of the opinion that when a Ger brings Bikurim, he doesn't say the Parasha Mikra Bikurim. The Boil of Meimar, because part of the Nusach that the Torah speaks about is Ashenishba Hashem Lavisenu, and he, the Ger, V'loi Motzi Omer, he's not able to say Ashenishba Hashem Lavisenu, because he's not a descendant of the Avos, therefore, Lo Psikalei. The Gemara chose to speak about Hanocha versus Kriya, because Hanocha applies to every Jew. Kriya, there are Jews that don't do Kriya, the Ger. Although many Rishonim are of the opinion that even though our Gemara is assuming that the Ger doesn't say Mikra Bikurim, many Rishonim are of the opinion that a Ger does do Mikra Bikurim. It's actually no different than a Ger saying Shemin Esrei. We start Shemin Esrei, Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu. So is there any suggestion that a Ger should say a different Shemin Esrei than all of us? So how indeed does the Ger say Elokeinu v'Elokei v'Seinu? So Mefarshim say that we know Avram Avinu was the Av Amon Goyim. So he was the father of all Gerim, and therefore he could say Mikra Bikurim and he could say Shemin Esrei. Ask the Gemara, v'lehed adina v'leis v'matzad. Let's remember what the Braisa did. The Braisa wanted to prove that Ma'aser Sheni doesn't apply in that b'zman hazeh. And the Braisa attempted to learn from Bikurim and pointed out that Bikurim had differences between Bikurim and Ma'aser. The Braisa tried to learn from Bechor and proved that there were differences between Bechor and Ma'aser. And therefore the Braisa brought a Hekesh. Ask the Gemara, we know this is the Derech of Shas consistently. How does a Tzad HaShava work? If we can't compare it to one subject, because there are differences, we look for the common denominator of the two subjects. And the Gemara is asking, why don't we combine the attributes of Bechor and Bikurim and say that as a tzad shava b'char b'kurim loy rizek rizeh v'loy rizek rizeh tzad shava shbehem that they don't apply nowadays. So too shemai sheni not apply nowadays. Asked Ritva Gvaldig Akasha. We have a rule throughout Shas that aim a shivan al hekesh. On a hekesh, you can't ask any questions. The Torah made a hekesh; it's not for us to ask questions. So ask the Ritva. The Gemara already said a hekesh comparing Maisa the Bechor. So why would we want to go back to a tzad shava, which could be refuted? And actually, in a moment, it will be refuted when we have a hekesh that's irrefutable. Says Ritva, absolutely. If the Gemara would have begun with a hekesh, then the Gemara would never ask, I have a hekesh, let's have a tzad shava. A tzad shava doesn't add anything that a hekesh doesn't teach us already. But here we have a different scenario. The Gemara began with a tzad shava, and the Gemara refuted the tzad shava. So now the Gemara's question, says the Ritva, is it wants to defend its original contention, and it wants to try to prove that the tzad shava can stand, and not just let it fall away. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Even if we can't learn Maisa from Bechor itself, we can't learn Maisa from Bikurim itself, maybe we could combine Bechor and Bikurim to prove that Maisa doesn't apply nowadays. And says the Gemara, we can't. Because Bechor and Bikurim both have Tzad Mizbeach. They both have an element that it's brought on the Mizbeach. Whereas Maisa is not brought on the Mizbeach. And the only way we know Maisa is not applicable B'zman HaZeh is because we have the Hekish from Bechor. Or Micah suffer. Ask the Gemara exactly what does this Tana hold. Before we go into this, we need to say a word of introduction. There is a sugya, which is a number of places. The sugya is kitchel ashata kitchel asadlovai. Was the original kedusha applicable for future generations? There's a number of points to make when you speak about this sugya. Number one, when we speak about kitchel ashata kitchel asadlovai, it really applies to two different places, and the two questions are not connected to each other. One is a Kedusha of Etz Yisrael. Does the Kedusha of Etz Yisrael remain forever? And the other question is, does the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash remain forever? Two different subjects. Furthermore, very interesting to note, and the Shar Metzion Balocha speaks at great length about this issue. He says, we know that Klal Yisrael actually entered Etz Yisrael twice. One time was by Yeshua. Yeshua captured all of Etz Yisrael. Ultimately, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into Galus. And the second time was in the time of Ezra. It's interesting to note, says the Shlomo HaMelech Balocha, that even if you hold Kitchel Asata, Kitchel Asalavai, the Kedusha remains, it's only the Kedusha that Ezra bought, not the Kedusha of Yeshua. And the reason is, because Yeshua's entry was through Kibush. And Ezra's entry was through Chazaka. We know that Kairush invited Ezra to come back to Etz Yisrael. Which, of course, if we would sit here and think, we probably come to an opposite conclusion. Yeshua, all of Klai Yisrael came in. Kibush, we captured all of Etz Yisrael. There we came in at the mercy of the enemy, of the mercy of Kairush. So how do we consider the Kedusha of Ezra a stronger Kedusha than the Kedusha of Yeshua? So he gives a number of explanations, very nice explanations. One he says is, that's exactly the point. We entered Etz Yisrael by the time of Yeshua through Kibush. So when we were driven out, the Kibush expired, and the Kedusha expires. Whereas Ezra's entry was through a Kenyan of Chazaka. A Kenyan remains forever. Along the same lines, he says, Kibush is not we've learned the concept of Kenyanim. Kibush is not a halacha kinyan. Chazaka is a halacha kinyan. So in the times of Yeshua, they relied on kibush and they never did a kinyan. Whereas in the times of Ezra, they did the kinyan chazaka, which is a legitimate kinyan. A third pshat, or very similar pshatim, is that we know for a kinyan to be considered a valid kinyan, there has to be a buyer and a seller. The halachic terminology is das acheres makna. So in the times of Yeshua, there was no das acheres makna. We drove the Umayyads out of Canaan. It wasn't that they invited us in, that there should be a buyer and a seller. So it's not considered a halachically valid kinyan. Whereas in the time of Ezra, as I said, Kairish invited us in. So there was a buyer and a seller, so to speak, a giver and a taker. That's why it's considered more of a kinyan. So even if we follow the opinion of Kitch Lashat, the Kitch Lashat Lavoi, it's from the time of Ezra, not from the time of Yeshua. So now let's go back into the Gemara. Micah Sover, in understanding this question about Maisa Sheni, exactly what does this Tana hold? Ika Sover, Kedusha Rishon, Kitch Lashat, Kitch Lashat Lavoi, that the Kedusha remains forever. So then the Halacha should be Avafil Bechor Nami. Then the halacha should be that bechor should continue. Ikasav kitchel rishon and kitchel shata v'la kitchel lasalavoi. I feel bechor nami tibai. We should have the same question as I mentioned before. What would be the question if the bechor was brought before the churban and could we eat it afterwards? Amar Ravina loyalim kasaver. This tana is of the opinion kitchel shata v'la kitchel lasalavoi. V'hacha. The question specifically is regarding b'chor shenizuk damer koydim churban abayis. I said the Gemara will mention this. B'chor of abayis, v'dayim b'chor b'sari kayim. And the question is, can the meat of that b'chor be eaten because it was brought when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, when the Kedusha was still there? Now the Kedusha expired, does it apply to the meat of that b'chor or not? U'makshinen, and how do we come to the resolution that it certainly doesn't? Because let's remember what the Braisa tried doing. The Braisa was asking a question, what is the din of Maisa Sheni? And the Braisa said, Bechor certainly is not. Now the question is, what is the din by Maisa? Why is Bechor certainly not? Why if the Korban, Bechor, was Nikra before the Korban Abayis, and everything was done properly, and then there was the Korban Abayis, may you not eat that Basar? Says the Gemara, because Makshinen Besar Ledomai. We compare the basar of the bechor to the dam of the bechor. Ma basaroi, ma damim b'mizbeach. Obviously, to be able to bring to do the zrikas dam of bechor, you need to have a mizbeach. Ach basaroi b'mizbeach. To eat the basar of a carbon bechor, the mizbeach has to be standing. And now we take it to the next step. Umakish ma'isel bechor. That just like bechor is only applicable when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, so too will be the din by ma'isa. In our previous year, we pointed out that there are a number of rules, unique rules to Kachim that don't apply to the rest of Tayyar, don't apply to the rest of the Shas. Here we encounter such a rule again. The rule is that in Kachim, there are no double Hekeshim. And that's the Gemara's question. Here we have a double Hekesh. First we learn the Basar of Bechor from the Dam of the Bechor, and then we learn the Aloch of Maisa Sheni from the Basar of Bechor. And therefore ask the Gemara, V'chidover halomid behekish, chayze malam behekish, can we have a double hekish when we speak about kachim? Answers the Gemara, Maisa dagan chulun hu. Why are we speaking about Maisa Sheni? Maisa Sheni is not kachim. Maisa Sheni is chulun. And therefore, it's not an issue of kachim where double hekishim are unacceptable. Ask the Gemara, we need to analyze. When we speak about double hekishim, from what perspective do we look at it? Do we look at it from the subject that's being learnt? That indeed is the case here. Maisa Sheni, the Gemara just said, is not Kachim. Or do we look at it from the perspective of where we're learning from? We're learning from Bechor. Bechor is Kachim. So says the Gemara, Hanich leman dam basar lamed is linen. If we follow the subject indeed is not Kachim, and a double hekish is acceptable. El leman dam basar lamed is linen. And where are we learning from? Bechor. Bechor is kachim. So we're back to our kasha. How is a double hekish acceptable? Ma'ikal meimer. Answers the Gemara. Dama basa chadam milsehi. It's not a double hekish. Because the aloch of the dam and the aloch of the basa of Bechor is really all in the same. So we're just learning mice from Bechor and we don't have a double hekish. Says Daruch Lener, how could the Gemara suggest the dam and basa of a Bechor is one and the same? Says Daruch Lener, beautiful teretz. Since you can't eat the basar of the Bechor without doing Zrikas Dam, so that links them very strongly together, because you can never eat the basar without the dam. That's why the Gemara is allowed to say the dam of basar chadam milsehi. We learned in our Mishnah that kachim that were taken out of the Azara, the Mishnah's words were the Kloim, and kachim kalim, the Maaseh Sheni, were taken out of Yishlayim. If one takes them out, he's over alav. Ask the Gemara, Tanina Chadasimna, haven't we learned this halacha at the beginning of the parak? The beginning of the parak, the Mishnah said, Maisa Sheni, Vehegdish Shalai Niftu. that the halacha is that they're also to be eaten. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Sefer b'Maaseh Sheni Tor v'Gavra Tor. The last Mishnah that we just learned is speaking about Maaseh Sheni, that's fine, and the person is fine, and the Mishnah is teaching us that if you take it out of the Chayma, out of Yerushalayim, you're over a lav. Reisha is talking about Maaseh Sheni Tamei, the Gavra Tamei, and he eats that in Yerushalayim, the Ka'ochlei b'Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even if you eat in Yerushalayim, so you don't have a problem that you removed it from Yerushalayim, the problem is that your Tamei, that also is an Issa lav. Ask the Gemara, Umenole de Mechayiv Alem Shem Tama. And from where indeed do we know that if you eat Maaseh Sheni when you or it are Tamei, that you're over a lav? Goes back to what I said before. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Omer, we spoke earlier in Amud Aleph about the Vidui Meiser, and part of the Nusach of the Vidui Meiser is that one says, Lo bi'arti mimani b'tamei, which means, Bench ani tamei v'hu tar, whether the person was tamei and the Meiser was tar, or Bench ani tar v'hu tamei, whether I'm tar and it is tamei, that I'm not allowed to eat it. Actually, the question comes up, that if the person is tamei, so why do we have to say the separate iser if the meiser is tamei? As soon as the person is tamei, the meiser that will go into your mouth will become tamei. So it will anyway become tamei. So Mefarshim respond with two answers. One is that the food wasn't mukshel kabel tamei, and we know that food can't become tamei unless it's exposed to liquid to make it mukshel to be susceptible to tamei. Or we have this teretz many times, it was pushed into somebody's beis ablia without him eating it, chewing it, so that he's not matamid of food. Ask the Gemara of Vehechem Muzah Mechila. Yes, the Gemara just quoted that we say as part of the Vidui Maisa that we did not eat the Maisa when we or the Maisa were tamei. But that doesn't indicate that there's a lav, because as the Rishonim explain, saying part of the Vidui Maisa could be that it's only a mitzvah to say not to eat it that way. Saying it as part of the Vidui Maisa might only indicate the Lefnim Meshuras Adin. I was so careful with the Maisa, I didn't eat it when it or I were Tamei. But I don't have any clear indication that there's a Lchi of Lav, as our Mishnah teaches us, for eating the Maisa when it or I am Tamei. Answers the Gemara, V'heichen Muzer Al Achila Eini Yedeya. Says, I don't read, you know, says the Gemara, Tumas Aguf, when the person is Tamei, that we have a Pasuk. Bediksev. Nefesh Shatiga boy, v'tomara erev, v'lo yochem anakotchim. And the Gemara in Yevamos says, how do we know that Pasuk is speaking about Maisa? The Pasuk says kotchim, maybe it means kotchim, not Maisa. So the Gemara in Yevamos answers, that the Pasuk there speaks about a situation where a person was Tamei and went to the mikvah. Now if you think about it, the only type of food that a person who's Tamei and goes to the mikveh may eat, is only Maisa. Because for Truma, the halacha is he has to have Herif Shemesh. And for Kachim, he has to bring the Kabbanis. So it must be that Pasuk is speaking about Maisa. And it goes back to the Gemara, El Tumas Atzmei Minayin. How do we know if the Maisa is Tamei, it may not be eaten? Answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Leisuch Alecha B'Sherecha, Ulao Laima B'Sherecha Techlena HaTamei V'Tar, V'Tana D'Beir B'Shmol, Afilu Tamei Vitar, that's talking about Bechor, Oichel Mekaren Achas, they could eat together Vein Choshin. Vekom Rachmana, Heich Tamei, the Shorach Laga Vitar, Hosen Loi Teichel. That's only, by Bechor there's a din, that there's no problem that once it becomes Tamei, it may be eaten. Meiser, on the other hand, once it becomes Tamei, may not be eaten. Continues the Gemara, Umanol and the Bar Pediyahu. How do we know the Meiser Sheni? And just to review a very important din, which will be an important part of tomorrow's shiur. The halacha is, normally, Maaseh Sheni, until you bring it to Yerushalayim, you can redeem it. Once you bring it to Yerushalayim, you may not redeem it. However, Maaseh Sheni, that is Tamei, even if it's in Yerushalayim, which normally you can't be poida Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, here you're allowed to be poida it. Umnole de Bapadihu, Dharma Belozim, and Nayin Maaseh Sheni Shenitma. How do we know that Maaseh Sheni becomes Tamei? Shepoidnoi Sofil B'Yerushalayim. This Maaseh Sheni may be redeemed even in Yerushalayim. Tamalam K'loi Suchel S'Esoi. The Pasuk speaks about which Maaseh Sheni may be redeemed. Maaseh Sheni L'Suchel S'Esoi. V'Ein S'Es El Achila. It speaks about mice that can't be eaten. The Torah is teaching us that any mice that can't be eaten, why? Because it's tamei, should not, may be redeemed. How do we know that seiso means eating? We always learned seiso means carrying. That's talking about what Yosef gave his brothers. He gave them food to eat. So we see that the word seiso means eating. So we learn from here, mice which could be eaten once in Yerushalayim, you can't redeem anymore. Mice, which is tamei, which our Gemara already proved may not be eaten, can be redeemed even when it's in Yerushalayim. I want to make 2 points. One point I just want to show, even though we don't learn Rashi in this year, I just want to make a point. If you look at Rashi, on top of the Amid, it's the sixth narrow line. Rashi, there's a parenthesis here. Rabbeinu Gufay Tar, V'yotzen Nishmas B'Tahara. Rashi was Tahor, like Pirush Yeser. The Pirush of Rashi ends over here. B'kam ve'elach loshen talmid Rabbi Yehuda ben Nasan. The rest of Rashi on this Masechta is not Rashi. The rest of Rashi is of the few remaining blad of this Masechta are the Rivon. It's also proof that Rashi actually didn't learn the Daf Yomi. Because the later Masechtas that we do have Rashi on, Zvachim, Menachas, Chulin, there's Rashi. If Rashi learned Shas in order, how did he die in front of Masechta Makkos and still have Rashi on other Masechtas? So it's Raya that Rashi didn't learn the Daf Yomi. He didn't follow the order of Shas. One more interesting point. Al Gemara speaks about Maisa Sheni being redeemed, or in Yerushalayim and not in Yerushalayim. The question comes up, particularly nowadays, where Maisa Sheni still applies, but we can't eat Maisa Sheni. So what do you do with Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim? So the minig is that all Maisa Sheni that's designated in Yerushalayim, it should be matamid first, it should be matamid of food first, and therefore, the halacha is, as we just learned in our Gemara, the Maisa Sheni that's Tomei in Yerushalayim, even if it's in Yerushalayim, you're allowed to be paided. In fact, I saw a very interesting story. The Rebbe Tzion Yadler says that he was the shliach of the Rabbanim in Yerushalayim to designate the Maisa Sheni. And one time he forgot to specifically be matamid the food, the fruit, before he separated the Maisa Sheni, and then he realized that he wasn't, and now we have a problem, because nowadays, we learned the Naman, this is Mamish Al Sugya, we learned the Naman Aleph, that you can't eat Maisa Sheni B'zmanazeh. We're learning on Amad Beis, that Maisa Sheni once in Yerushalayim, you can't be Paida. So what do you do with that Maisa Sheni? So he says, he went and asked Rav Shmuel Salant, who was at that time the Rav Yerushalayim, what to do. So he said a very interesting teretz. He said a very interesting psak. He says, you were appointed by the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim to be the shliach to remove the maisa. And in Hilcha Shliachus, there's a concept, l'tikuni shedatich v'loy la'afsi. I made you into shliach to bring me benefit, not to bring me damage. You, by not doing your shliachus properly, forfeited your right to be a shliach. And therefore you were never really a shliach. And your entire designation of the Meiser was not a valid designation, and we don't have to be concerned with what you did. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Barabasi, continues the Gemara. Menayin l'maiser sheni tor. How do we know maiser sheni tor? Shepoidin oisa filo psia achas chutz l'chayma. Even if it's one step outside of your shlaim, you still may redeem it. Says the Gemara, k'shnem k'lai sucha seisai. Because you didn't carry it into Yerushalayim. However, ask the Gemara, didn't we use that pasuk a minute ago to teach us that Maisa Sheni, that's Tamei, you are allowed to be part of Yerushalayim? So how can we use the pasuk to teach us this then? Answers the Gemara, if the entire purpose of that pasuk was just to teach us that Maisa Sheni, that's Tamei, may not be eaten, may be nifta in Yerushalayim, im kein lemakrala sucha la'ochloi. Why did the Torah use a word which normally is not used, se'esoi, to teach us that Maisa Sheni, that's Tamei, we can be paid in Yerushalayim? Ask the Gemara, to teach us that Maisa Sheni, I'm sorry, that wasn't brought to Yerushalayim, you could still be paid. So ask the Gemara the other way around. Maybe that's all the Pasuk is teaching us, that if the Maisa Sheni hasn't arrived in Yerushalayim, you can be paid it. Why? How do we know that the pasuk is also teaching us that if it's in Yerushalayim, it's tummy can be bited? Answers the Gemara: Im kein lemekrali sucha litloi. What the Torah should say, because you didn't carry it in. Maisa esoy shmami notarati. So what the Gemara is saying in a nutshell is because the Torah used this very unique word, se'esoi, which you normally don't find the Torah using, we're able to learn two halachas. What are the two halachas? One halacha is that as long as the food has not been brought into Yerushalayim, you could be paid it. One halacha. And another halacha is that even if it was brought in, even if the Maaseh Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim, but it's tameh, even though normally once in Yerushalayim you can't be paid it, this Maaseh Sheni you could be paid it. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Chanina Rav Yoshia become a boyle a pesach Yerushalayim mahu. There's actually two girsas in this Gemara. One girsa in the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying that they had this halachic discussion, and where were they physically sitting when they had this discussion? They were sitting at pesach Yerushalayim by the entrance to Yerushalayim. But the other girsa in the Gemara is that was the actual question. The question is a pesach Yerushalayim mahu. We just said as long as the food is outside of Yerushalayim, you can be paid it. Once it's in Yerushalayim, you can't be paid it. So the question is, when is it considered outside, and when is it considered inside? So says the Gemara, Pshitetz avis, hu b'chutz umbasa b'fnim. If the person bringing the Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim is still outside of Yerushalayim, but the food has already been brought into Yerushalayim, katoma chutzis, it's considered Yerushalayim. The fact that the person is carrying it is outside makes no difference. Hu b'fnim umbasa b'chutz. But he is already inside. And what will be the halacha that the package is outside? Says the Gemara. Ma'u, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Tanala hu saba, b'deber of Shim ben Yochai. The pasuk says, ki yirchak m'cha m'locha, m'melucha. Which teaches us that if you are inside, and it is outside, it's already considered, since you're carrying it, as if it's inside, and you can no longer be paid it. But now ask the Gemara one more question. Boy Rapapa, Nakale Bekanya. You're carrying it on a stick. You're carrying it on a stick, on a long stick. And the stick is not on your shoulders. I mean, the stick is on your shoulders, but the miser is on the other side of the stick, all the way in the back. We just say whatever you're carrying is considered as if it's part of you. But maybe that's when it's on your shoulders, when it's in your pocket. Now when it's being protruded on a stick that's behind you, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara Teiku. And it's very interesting to note that in Shas, Mefarshim explains it this way. Whenever the Gemara says a Teiku on a question, there is no point in doing further examination. The Gemara says there's no answer. This is a case where our Gemara here says teiku, but in tomorrow's shiur we're going to have an answer to this question. So the Mefarshim say that even though teiku, we shouldn't do further investigation, but if the Gemara says an answer, the Gemara says an answer. It's interesting also to say that Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Sefer Beis HaOitzer, uses this Gemara to prove a point. We spoke about, on Amud Aleph, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. The question is, if we say Yerushalayim as Kedusha, does that Kedusha go up to the Avir of Yerushalayim? And he says, our Gemara is discussing Maaseh Sheni that's on a stick. If it's on a stick, it's only in the Avir of Yerushalayim. Yet the Gemara is saying that it may be considered like it's in Yerushalayim. So we see here that the Avir Yerushalayim has the same din as Yerushalayim, which became a very relevant question, Bizman Hazeh. We know that we're not allowed to go up Bizman Hazeh to the Har HaBayis. The question is, could one travel in a helicopter or in a plane over the Har HaBayis? And according to the point Rabbi Yosef Engel makes, just like you're not allowed to step onto that area, you're also not allowed to travel in a helicopter or in a plane over the Har HaBayis.